We're here with Murray State President Dr. Randy Dunn. We begin our series of conversations for this academic year. Thank you very much for being here.
We're back once again, Chad. Very exciting.
It is. It's an exciting year for Murray State as well. In a speech I've heard you give a couple of times now, you're kind of setting the stage for Murray State as a transitional year.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be kind of associated with you discussing a new business model for Murray State. I wondered if you could explain a bit more about what's changing.
Well, I have used that term transitional year to describe 2012-13 for this reason. As many listeners know, we had a pretty difficult budget year when we learned that we were going to lose a little over 6% of our state appropriations from the university. For us, that comes to well over $3 million. So we knew that that could not be sustained over time and that we would have to make adjustments within the budget to deal with that. We weren't going to be able to just keep, you know, slamming tuition, increasing it, and not looking at some sort of reprioritization or cost cutting, particularly in an environment where fixed costs always continue to increase. So what we did actually to make the present year's budget, fiscal year 13 for this 12-13 academic year, was to dip into savings to the tune of about $1.9 million to get through this year. But that is going to allow us then the time to take on some very careful study and work to determine how we can do some reallocation, get some increased efficiency in savings, maybe look for additional revenue generation from alternative sources, and do those types of things so that the university is better positioned as we head into fiscal year 14. Now, again, I've used that term business model of the university, which sometimes causes folks in academia to shrink or twitch a little bit. And it's not that I'm saying that the university is a business, but we do have to look at business practices and the protection of fiduciary duties we're charged with, things of that nature. So we'll undertake the work this year to rethink that model and get us well positioned as we head into next year.
And that's part of the budget work groups that you've put together.
That's right.
The board has approved the work to move this forward, where I believe there'll be different areas that you look at, alternative revenue, mm-hmm. and also cost cutting. So if you could just explain maybe a little bit in the weeds how these groups are going to work.
Well, we've put together 12 teams across the campus. 9 of those are aligned or affiliated with the academic collegiate unit. So each of the colleges operates or has its own budget review team. Then there are 3 additional teams that really are university-wide, cross-cutting across the entire institution to look at programs and services, the offerings that we have out there, not just for student services or programs, but also what we do to support the region, various outreach efforts, service units, things of that nature. So programs and services is one. We'll take a broad look at all of the things we do in our repertoire under that umbrella term. A second institution-wide budget team is organizational efficiencies, and we'll look at ways, again, across the entire campus to figure out if there are ways we can wring out some costs from structures, systems that are currently in place. Now, that's not to say that we have anything in mind here, but we want to take a broad look, again, at every possibility is for consolidating costs, potentially outsourcing some things. That's not to say that anything will happen in that regard, but we want to look at it, think about ways, again, we can do things in kind of a tighter, leaner fashion to get us really some savings generated that we then could reallocate to other purposes. That third university-wide team has to do with generating alternative revenue. So we're going to start looking at a wide variety of things that we could do to bring in additional revenue streams to the university. And there are all kinds of ideas that, you know, are floating around out there. And we're going to try to look at everything from soup to nuts, if you will, in figuring out what things that we do might appropriately be monetized to provide additional revenue support to the university. So programs and services, efficiencies, alternative revenue are the three teams that are kind of standing out there, not tied to a college unit, as well as the nine that will be led by the deans to look specifically in the academic areas.
Is there kind of a meter that you're looking at when you combine your efficiencies and the amount of possible alternative revenues that you would like to hit? Like, would it be combined savings and growth of a certain amount?
No, we haven't set out that kind of target, and some may take issue with that, and they're free to do that. But what we're charging the teams to do is to undertake this work without some arbitrary bar set. If it was the case, Chad, that we were just looking to get 3% or 5%, whatever, pick a number, it doesn't matter. Probably the easiest way to do that would simply be to say to each of the budgetary and administrative units of the university, the scores of them that we have, hundreds of them that we have, find 3% or find 5%, make the cuts, and when you turn in your budget sheets for next year, just make sure it's reflected. In my view, that's the lazy person's way of doing this work. It leads to these across-the-board types of cuts. And if you look at what businesses, corporations, nonprofits, other universities are doing, many, many of them across the country, if anybody reads a newspaper, reads a website, follows broadcast news, knows that this work is going on to really look at the whole range of things that are done, in this case, in the name of the university, to think through their value, what they add to our mission and goals, to think about whether the priorities that established what we do maybe many years ago still hold true today, and really go through that type of analysis to think about the new model. Some things we probably need to shed off. Some things we can tighten up. Some things maybe others can do for us. Some things we do, we need to be monetizing and getting some revenue for it. And it's a much more complex undertaking that involves many people, as these 12 budget teams will, than just saying, oh, get us 3% or get us 5%. We're going to go through this exercise. We're going to see where we stand and put a list of recommendations together for the board as they're thinking about 9 months from now about the next budget and see where we go from there. I will say this, though. The idea here is to find savings, revenue, reallocation that can be pulled in centrally. So everything that we come up with will be assigned to a central pool. It won't be the case that if College of Education comes up with some amount of savings, that doesn't turn around and go back to the college. Everyone is clear in understanding that this is an effort where we're looking to centrally change the business model, and what we see in reprioritization comes in centrally. But the idea then is, as we go forward, we have the ability to fund new programs, to continue to pay for the level of services and benefits that people have come to expect. We can keep doing the outreach work. You know, eventually we could look at a salary increase, things of that nature. So there is a little give and take there. While we're not giving this hard and set target, everybody does understand that this is a common undertaking that we're doing to essentially increase revenue for the university going forward.
And you're asking members of the university community to sit on these budget teams.
Right.
They're going to make some tough decisions.
Those are going to be tough jobs for those individuals. Yes. I didn't mean to cut you off,
yeah,
Chad, but I really do applaud the people who have been willing to step forward and represent one of our constituencies on campus, or indicated that they may have an expertise and are willing to sit on these panels, these teams, because as this work gets going through the course of the semester, it's going to be pretty high stakes, it's going to be high profile, and there will be people taking shots at these teams and the team members.
Is there anything that you're going to be able to do to try to either provide cover for these people for the decisions they have to make?
Well, one of the things that is the case as we enter into this, these teams are board endorsed. They're not necessarily board approved. That is to say, I proposed this approach to the board. They endorsed it and said, you know, President, yes, you may move forward. But the teams are appointed by me. They are not board committees per se. So they do have the ability to operate outside of the typical Public Meeting Act requirements that you would have, publishing of agendas. It's not to say that this work gets done in secret. When you have as many people serving on these teams as we have, that's not going to be the case. But there is a need for those groups to sit, ask some hard questions, look at data, take testimony, and craft recommendations sitting as a group of experts a little bit removed from the public eye, if you will, while some of that key work is going on. And so there will be the benefit that they're not going to be in the press every week or having necessarily coverage of every meeting and the reports written up and published in newspapers or provided to, you know, WKMS or other places. I think there's a need to find that right balance between being transparent about what's going on, sharing the work that's taking place, but not having every one of these decisions, taking place under the scrutiny of the thousands who are going to be following what's going on.